everybody, and welcome to today's show. I'm your host, Zach Drew. Josh Peck will be joining me in just a couple of minutes, but boy, do we have a show for you today. The world is changing so fast. It seems like every day we're waking up and a new technological development has occurred, and it almost seems impossible to keep up with. Well, today we are going to talk about one of those advancements that might just be on the horizon, and we have Josh Peck here to explain how artificial intelligence might become sentient, actually conscious, within just the next few years. But first, I want to give you an update on our fundraiser. So what we're going to show you in just a minute, we actually filmed last week, but whenever you film two shows in 1 week, I can't give you a current update on our fundraisers. I want to let you know that on August 11th, this match ends. Okay, so as you're watching this, if you're watching it in the earliest places, and you probably have less than 2 weeks, but if you're watching it actually on the Friday night we air this, it's 2 weeks from today, a $50,000 match. And right now we've raised almost half. We've raised $24,679. We still need to raise just over $25,000 in 2 weeks. Is God moving on your heart right now? Please respond. And I want to thank those that gave this week. I want to thank Ginger and her donation of $25. I also just want to say, Ginger, you're awesome. I get your letters every month in the mail. You're so faithful. You're so encouraging. And I just want to give you a quick little shout out. I want to thank Randall for his gift of $100. Eileen, $500. Bonnie and Earl, $100. Kay, $100. Sue and Donald, $100. Michael and Aline, $100. Carol and Deborah, $30. Rosella, $55. Roger, $75. Richard, $250. And Linda, $100. Thank you all for getting involved. Please call 888-459-5727 and give today towards the match. If it takes a couple of minutes for someone to pick up, just be patient. And you can write us at Zach Drew Show, P.O. Box 797, Decatur, Illinois, 62525. It's there on the screen. And lastly, you can go, it's super easy, ZachDrewShow.com. And click that bright orange donate button. We have 2 weeks to raise just over $25,000 towards this $50,000 match. Get involved today. Before we get into this incredible conversation about quantum consciousness, I want to remind everybody that how we survive is, in this ministry, is the monthly recurring members of this program. So please, I want to encourage everybody to join the Paul Revere Club and receive the Paul Revere Report on a monthly basis. So for a monthly donation of $30, every month we will send you a special news report to your email. Now, like we talked about last week, Josh will be writing and editing his own show that will be available exclusively through the Paul Revere Club. Josh, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I'm very excited about this new show. It's called Peck Perspective, and it's kind of a variety show. Every month, every issue, I'll be dealing with a new topic. So this very first one is actually on the topic of spirit doubles or doppelgangers. In Acts 12:15, we actually find a precedent for this strange phenomenon, and I believe that we actually have a clip from that first episode that we can play for people who might have missed it last week.
Yeah. Go ahead and play that.
The Bible has a strange account where the Apostle Peter was mistaken for his angel. What is this passage about, and what does it say about ancient and modern beliefs in supernatural twins? All this and more on today's Peck Perspective. Hello and welcome to Peck Perspective. I am your host, Josh Peck. I thought it'd be interesting to talk about doppelgangers. Now, that might seem like a totally random thing to want to talk about on a Christian show, but did you know there's actually a biblical precedent for the existence of doppelgangers? Now, don't worry. Though this is a strange topic, I am not one that believes everything they read online, and you shouldn't be either. I come at topics like this with a healthy dose of skepticism, and before I buy into anything, I have to know it fits within a biblical lens. Rather than just believing everything we're told just because it's weird and interesting, we need to track these things down and get at the truth. Now, before we get to the biblical passage in question, for some context, there's actually a rich historical record of these mysterious doubles. German folklore talks of the doppelganger, meaning double walker. Now, one of the strangest stories a bit closer to our time was that of Emily Saget. Now, according to the account of three authors and one witness, Emily was a French teacher working at a boarding school in Latvia in 1845. She apparently had her own doppelganger working there as well because students began noticing rumors of one student talking to her at the same time as another student in a different part of the school would be talking to her there as well. One witness named Julie said there was a day Emily was writing on the blackboard and students saw her double right next to her, imitating the same actions. But the only difference was that the real Emily had chalk in her hand and her double did not.
Okay, so here's the thing. So actually, this, based on when you're watching, because this show will be aired on our social media platforms on July 28th. So if you're watching there and want to get involved and make sure you become a member, you're going to get this report in 4 days on August 1st. But guess what? If you're watching on DirecTV or Comcast Cable, you're probably watching on August 1st or that first week of August. So join today and you can get that today and watch the show, watch all of exclusive content. And like I said, you know, you've been adding all these great things about, you know, how you can actually click on the videos.
Yes.
That people can watch a little bit more.
Yep.
And we can go more in depth with the things we're talking about on this program. You don't want to miss the Paul Revere report on a monthly basis. You need to stay informed. So everyone who believes in this show, please, I am asking you to join this club. Go online right now and click that store icon, and where it says you have the coffee on the left, you can do that. It's delicious coffee, but right there on the right, it's the Paul Revere Club. Sign up for that. Here's one more quick video to go a little bit more in depth with this.
In a world where information is everywhere, how can we separate the signal from the noise? Introducing the Paul Revere Club. Your one-stop destination for breaking news, current events, and cutting-edge coverage of the latest developments in science, technology, politics, and so much more. Imagine finally having a place free of censorship where you can stay informed, inspired, and connected, all in one convenient location. But that's not all. At the Paul Revere Club, we go beyond the headlines. Dive into our rich collection of Bible teachings where ancient wisdom meets modern relevance. For those seeking profound insights into news, prophecy, and unraveling the mysteries of the world, our newsletter provides exclusive show notes from The Zach Drew Show and extra commentary from Josh Peck, combining to offer the ultimate source of information for truth-seeking individuals like you. Receive our monthly newsletter by joining the Paul Revere Club today and embark on a journey of knowledge, inspiration, and the truth of God's Word. Connect with a community of like-minded brothers and sisters passionate about staying informed and understanding the signs of our time. Signing up for the Paul Revere Club has never been easier or more affordable. For a monthly donation of only $30, you can unlock a world of knowledge at your fingertips. Simply call our toll-free number, 888-459-5727 and tell our operators you would like to join the Paul Revere Club. Or go to ZachDrewShow.com, click on the IGBY store, click the Paul Revere Club icon, and sign up today. The Paul Revere Club. Prophetic warnings to pierce the darkness.
Josh Peck.
Zach Drew.
I want to talk about something that I had actually never even heard of before. So this is your content, buddy, because this is nothing that I have ever researched. But man, is it fascinating. And it's one of those type of things where it's going to build. So we got to lay a lot of foundation. And then what he's going to be saying in just a few minutes. It is fascinating. And also completely terrifying, right?
Yes.
This is called quantum consciousness.
Yes.
Talk about this.
Yeah, and I had to take a lot of notes.
I gotta stop. Hold on.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got to interrupt you again. One thing that you need to know about Josh Peck is that when the Lord, you know, you imagine, you know, salt shaker, you know, it's like, okay, this person is going to be a little bit good looking, or, you know, this one's going to be, you know, this is going to be their weight for their whole life, or this is, you know, like determining the factors, the pie graph of what they get, don't get. The salt shaker kind of spilled over when it came to IQ with Josh, because he's even, like I said, he's basically an expert, even things like quantum computing, which, you know, how many people do you know or have ever met that are experts in quantum computing? But my gosh, Josh, once again, listen, I'm just excited you're here, buddy. Talk about, now that I said that, this, you know, understand this dude's a genius. Talk about quantum consciousness.
Well, now I get the pleasure of following that, so thanks. Hopefully I don't disappoint. But no, I actually first wrote about this when I wrote a book years ago with Tom Horn called Abaddon Ascending.
Yep.
And this was at that time was the first time I heard about it. But I had to go through, re-research this, because there's so many new advancements in technology. So I took a lot of notes, which, by the way, all of these notes will be available in the Paul Revere report. So make sure you sign up for that. But with the recent push towards things like telepathy, like what we were talking about last week, thought control, you know, the need for certain people in the world to control the masses, there are people out there, and this is terrifying, there are tech designers, there's scientists that are looking for a new way to manipulate people, and they might have that available to them in something that's called semi-theory, C-E-M-I.
So is it called semi-theory or is it called C-E-M-I theory?
Semi-theory.
Okay, so what's the basics of semi-theory?
So it stands for conscious electromagnetic field theory. Okay. And basically it's an attempt to explain in a physics sense what consciousness is, because this is something that has eluded scientists for all of time. I mean, even today, there's not really a good theory. And so nobody knows what consciousness is. So this theory states that consciousness as we know it is dictated by particles in our brain reacting to something called a quantum field. And so these, and I'll explain that in a minute, but these hypothetical particles, if they exist, are called corticons. And then the field that they exist in are called is called the cortical field.
Okay.
Now, this has nothing to say about the spirit or the soul or anything like that. This is purely physical, just trying to explain consciousness on the physical side of reality.
Okay.
So this isn't the spirit or the soul. But if this theory is true, there's some really horrifying things that could come from this.
Okay, so from that first section right there alone, explain this in a way that someone who doesn't have any background, like myself, in physics will understand.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And this is what I enjoy doing, because when I watch a physicist or something, it's almost like you have to like learn their language. They speak in a different language. So I try to not do that. So first, we actually have to understand what an interaction with a quantum field is actually like, and we have to understand what particles actually are. Most people think that particles are these little tiny pieces of matter.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, I did too for the longest time, but that's actually not true. What a particle is, and this is going to sound confusing at first, but I'll explain it. It's an energy spike in a localized part of a quantum field. Now, I know that sounds like, what does that mean? Yeah, that's totally fine. It's supposed to sound like that. That's scientific jargon. So to give some examples of this, most people are familiar, at least with the gravitation field. You know, the gravitation field exists everywhere, but that doesn't mean that it's active everywhere. There's parts of the universe where there's not much gravity at all. So that quantum field of gravity, that gravitational field, has low energy in those spots. There's other parts where there's high energy, like around a black hole or even here on planet Earth. The gravity is higher. So when the energy of a quantum field spikes in one location, that spike is the particle.
Okay.
So it's not a piece of matter, it's more of an energy spike. So when, say in the gravitational field, when the energy spikes, that spike is called a graviton. And then we just call them particles because for all of ancient history, everybody thought everything was made of tinier pieces of matter. And then we found out through what's called quantum field theory, that's not true. Another way to think about this is the electromagnetic field. Mm-hmm. When the energy in what's called the electromagnetic field spikes in a single location, that spike is called a photon. That's a particle of light.
I remember that one.
Yeah, exactly. So a particle of light is not a tiny piece of matter. It's a spike in energy. And we're all made of that. The entire world is made of that. Now, mass, interestingly, mass is like this too. So we tend to think of mass as just more matter. A higher mass means a larger amount of physical stuff, but that's actually not true at all. Mass, as this was proven by the discovery of the Higgs boson at CERN.
Yes.
Mass, come to find out, is an interaction with the Higgs field. So the Higgs boson wasn't the real discovery. The Higgs boson pointed to the fact that a thing called the Higgs field exists, which proves that mass is an interaction with this field. So your mass is determined by how much you interact with the Higgs field. This is what
before you even get into that.
Sure.
I know that you're going to be talking about a little bit about CERN.
Yeah.
So you're talking about the Higgs field.
Yeah.
Does that deal exclusively with CERN, or is that just is that a whole concept over here, and then that concept is applied to the Large Hadron Collider?
Yeah, it's just they used the Large Hadron Collider to prove this theory that that mass is an interaction and that the Higgs field exists.
Okay.
As far as CERN's concerned, that's the only contribution that it had, was just discovering that this way of reality exists. But this is also why the faster you travel, some people might have heard this, the faster you travel, the more mass you pick up, you know, the heavier you get. That's why faster than light travel is impossible, because you reach a point of infinite mass. It's because you're interacting more with the Higgs field. So here's kind of a thought exercise to think about this. Imagine you're submerged in a pool of water. Now, the faster you try to move your hand, the more resistance you're getting. You know, the harder it is to do it. And the slower you move, though, it's a lot easier. Well, the pool of water is like the Higgs field. And the more resistance is like your body's interaction with the Higgs field. So understanding interaction in that way, understanding, and it is kind of hard to get our minds around at first, because we basically have to unlearn a lot of things that we learned in like high school science classes.
But don't worry, I don't have to unlearn it. I don't remember it.
Well, good. Then you're in the right place. So the Higgs boson was discovered at CERN, like you mentioned. What's interesting is that type of discovery could happen with corticons. And if that's proven true, then it would show that consciousness, much like mass, is just an interaction with the cortical field, with a field. And again, this doesn't say anything about the spirit or soul. This is just physical consciousness in physical reality. And actually, this field of science, it's called quantum field theory. It's the most accurate field of science that we have available today. It's the only reason that the LHC at CERN even works. Mm-hmm. Because when what they're yeah
and explain, mm-hmm. because we haven't talked about the Large Hadron Collider
right
for probably 2 years, Andrew, I would at least say. Mm-hmm. So just give a quick synopsis so that people understand what that is.
Sure.
And that's, you know, where they, you know, where they found this, what they refer to as the God particle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're trying, you know, some people even say that And gosh, there's some really interesting things about the Large Hadron Collider, what they're doing could actually even, bear with me, open up a portal.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe it could?
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, and that's the crux of the whole book, Abbot on Ascending, I wrote with Tom Horn, was answering this question, could CERN open a portal? And it certainly is possible. But for those who aren't familiar, the Large Hadron Collider is basically a big particle collider. The idea that most people have in their heads on how this thing works, and CERN is just the governing body that decides what happens with the machine, but they imagine two particles smashing together and exploding into a whole bunch of bits. But that's not exactly what's happening, because particles aren't little pieces of matter. So really what's happening is they take these two particles, these two energy spikes, and they slam these energy spikes together. And what that does is that reverberates energy into all the surrounding quantum fields, even ones we haven't discovered yet. And when you add energy to a quantum field, that energy, that spike, is the particle. So when the Higgs boson was discovered, we didn't know that the Higgs field was there. There were theories about it, but they smashed these two particles together. The energy went into the Higgs field, and a Higgs boson popped up. It was brought into existence.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
That's such a crazy thought.
Yeah, but it's so weird that that's how it works. Like, the Large Hadron Collider would not work if quantum field theory wasn't true. So imagine if they do the same thing and they discover the cortical field. Imagine the way that they can manipulate particles now. What if they could manipulate corticons? What does that say for the future of humanity? And that's kind of a scary thought.
So this has to do with the semi theory.
Yeah, and that's if this theory is true, they at some point will be able to discover corticons. Because again, semi-theory suggests that consciousness is an interaction with an as of yet undiscovered field. So the way fields are discovered is, again, by discovering their associated particle, because a particle is a spike in a field. You cannot have a particle without a field. And like I said, that's why the Higgs boson wasn't the real discovery. The real discovery was, okay, there's a boson, there's a Higgs field, masses interaction.
Now,
same thing could happen with consciousness.
You believe... And connected to this, that this could actually give consciousness to artificial intelligence.
Yes. Yeah. Now imagine that. So if consciousness is an interaction, the world as we know it, and if that was discovered, the world as we know it changes overnight. It is a completely different world. Scientists and tech developers are especially interested in this because it would provide a cheap and exceedingly more effective, efficient path towards the development of true AI. It wouldn't just be lines of code. It wouldn't be just machine learning.
It would be almost like a sentient.
Yeah, it would be a sentient, true, naturally, like a true consciousness. Now imagine a world where tech companies didn't have to spend so much money on hiring developers to write millions of lines of code, but instead could use something like the LHC at CERN to learn how to manipulate corticons. Quantum computing, that would be a done deal overnight. It would take an immediate leap forward. And what all tech developers care about the most, this would be exceedingly affordable. It would be cheap. It would be a lot cheaper than having to hire developers to write all this code.
So here's the thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the event is.
Mm-hmm.
No one knows. But there is something so huge,
mm-hmm,
that is going to happen in our lifetimes. And I don't know if it's, you know, some people might say it's an alien deception.
Mm-hmm.
Some people would say, you know, it could be AI,
mm-hmm,
receiving some type of consciousness. And then as it grows and becomes, that's what we're talking about, this super intelligent being. I believe whenever we think about the dragon of the end times, it's Satan. Mm-hmm. But, you know, one ought to write a book called The Digital Dragon, because it is going to be, it's like Satan is going to be able to possess AI, because it will actually have some type of consciousness, and it even will make sense of even, you know, the image of the beast. You know, the scripture where it talks about how the image is given breath.
Yeah.
It suggests that a non-sentient object is given consciousness. And I think that this could lead to the great deception that even if the elect could be deceived, they would.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's so much we don't know about the spirit world, because again, the semi theory only addresses the physical part of consciousness. We know that we're not just physical. We have a spirit, we have a soul. We're spiritual beings having a physical experience. So imagine a physical consciousness. Could a spirit of some kind glom on to that consciousness? And that might be what we're looking at with the image of the beast. Because, like, you're right, it does say breath, and that word does mean life. It's the same word that's used in all other parts of the New Testament when it speaks about real, true life. So there's something going on there, and I think technology is the path that these people are going to take to bring this image of the beast into being.
So, yeah, because that's a huge question. I mean, what do demons need to embody something?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they can embody animals,
right?
Even though animals do not have eternal, you know, spirits,
right?
But they can embody them. So it's like, it's almost like, do they just need some type of consciousness?
That's what it seems like. Yeah,
because that's so crazy. Because okay, listen, I need like 15 minutes just to process this. But I mean, that would literally mean that the AI of the future, this AI Godhead, would not just be some super intelligent thing being able to know it all, but actually even be possessed by demons.
It gets even worse than that. This could be weaponized. We were talking about thought control. Well, imagine if a tech company or the government can control corticons. They could replace people's consciousnesses, but they could change it. They could alter it. They could make you think and believe and feel different things. Now, again, this would only be on the physical world. I don't think that somebody can totally strip away somebody's free will, but it would make that person extremely susceptible to things that they normally wouldn't be, and probably very, very difficult to live their lives day in, day out. I mean, we already have mind-altering things in our food and our medication, and so that's already happening. But this would be to the max. I mean, this could be weaponized in a way that they could legit turn people's consciousnesses on and off at will.
But I can almost promise you that in the same way Neuralink and they all do it, they these horrible plans will always be proclaimed through rose-colored glasses. They'll probably be called cortical therapy.
Yeah, yeah. We can treat your PTSD, your anxiety, your stress. You know, we can make you blissful and happy all day long. You can live a fulfilling life. That is exactly how they'll roll it out. It'll probably be called something like that, cortical therapy. But imagine when that gets in the wrong hands. Any hands would be the wrong hands, except God's hands, of course. Something like that could easily be weaponized. What if one of our enemies, another country, China, gets a hold of something like this? I mean, they're working on this stuff right now. So the dark days, I believe, are ahead. But, you know, of course, still, we can take refuge in Jesus.
That's right. Listen, that is so interesting. The world in my lifetime, and some would say the world has already become very bizarre over the last 20, 30 years. Oh, my goodness. You haven't seen anything. You ain't seen nothing yet. It's going to get so bizarre over these next few years. You've got to make sure that your life is built upon the solid foundation of Jesus Christ so that you will not be deceived. Matthew 7, 24 through 27 says, this is the red words, the red letters. These are Jesus' words. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. The rock, the rock, the rock. And everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be likened to a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And when the storm came, right? When the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and its fall was great. There is a storm coming, people. And, you know, it's all about the foundation. If your life, if the home, your life, which is your home, has not been built upon the solid foundation of Jesus Christ, the rock, you will fail. You will crash and burn. You cannot make it without Jesus. You won't. It is an impossibility. And how can I say that Jesus is that rock, that firm foundation? Because Scriptures tells us. Psalms 18:2, the Lord is my pillar and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. Psalms 62:6-8, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my refuge. I will not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my shelter is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts before him. God is a shelter for us. Make sure your life is being built upon Jesus Christ, the firm foundation. And the only way to do that is by reading your word, by getting to know him, by worshiping him, by laying down your life as a living sacrifice, being transformed into his image. That is how we will survive the days ahead. Get into your word. Thank you, Josh.
Absolutely. Thank you.
We'll see you next week.